So we're continuing our reading from the Bhagavatam. And specifically, the verses now are continuing with how the teacher Sunda and Namaka would be chastising Prahlad Maharaj for being too devotional or being on the wrong side. You're in the wrong camp. You're meant to be, you're living with the demons, but you've sided with the devotees. What's going on? Where have we gone wrong? These are the complaints that most parents would have of their children. Where have we gone wrong? You've become a devotee, you've joined. What have you done? So it's very similar that Sunda and Namaka are also feeling, where have we gone wrong? We taught you all the right values, but still you turned out wrong. And that's generally one line we always hear in the temple from all the parents, that where did we go wrong? We wanted him to be religious, but not too religious. We wanted him to be devotional, but not that devotional. So Sunda and Namaka can be translated a little bit in that way. And even in this day and age, the schools have the same problem, because Sunda and Namaka at least were just teaching in the schools of the demons. That's where you learn certain values. But in today's educational system, they have a couple of Sunda and Namakas in every school. Why? Because although every school, which you all will remember, it begins with the morning assembly, at least in this country, and we worship God, but at the same time, the curriculum has the principle that you must teach evolution. That although we're worshiping God in the morning, but it challenges you that maybe God doesn't exist at the same time. So that's the debate they always have. Should we teach it? And it's in the curriculum, so you have to teach it. So the faith schools try to opt out of teaching it, but you have to teach it. But they have to deal with it in a certain way. That evolution perhaps is the mechanism, but the mechanism was started by God. At least that much is there in the faith school. But in general schools, there is no principle. It's evolution, that we did evolve from nothing. And after we leave this world, there is nothing. So we can translate that Sunda and Namaka are existing in the school system, even to this day. The purports specifically are dealing with the principles of brahmanas. And specifically, in these verses, they're speaking on the brahmanas who are seminal brahmanas. And they were sons of Sukracharya, obviously. So Prabhupada is speaking about that principle here. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes a very big book practically on Brahmins and Vaishnavas, his article on this. And the principle being that once there was a debate about who's better, the Brahmins or the Vaishnavas. So this principle was there. So the Brahmins, obviously, at that stage of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at that time, they were all seminal Brahmins, the caste Goswamis, by birth. So, and you couldn't become a Brahmin in any other way, obviously. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was invited to this challenge to come and debate on this point. But he was very sick at that time. So he couldn't go. So, obviously, he would submit defeat by not going, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke to him and said, I will go instead. So in that debate that began, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur first eulogized the Brahmanas. he took all the verses from the Vedas, which glorified all the Brahmanas and their qualities, how they were the mouth of Lord Vishnu, how Lord Vishnu eats to the Brahmanas, variety of statements which are there within the Vedas. So he took all of those. So the Brahmins were extremely happy that Bhaktisiddhanta had glorified all of them. But as we know, he was the Narasimha Guru. So finally, after glorifying them, and then he started to defeat every argument. And in that debate, he defeated the caste Goswamis, and they debated for a long time. Those debates probably went on for days. And in defeating them, the crowds cheered because he refuted every single point that seminal brahmanas were not really brahmanas. You could be a brahmana specifically by quality and work. So he was, in winning this debate, he was taken away from the stage because he was such an elevated person. And all the crowds wanted to come and touch his feet. So they broke all the ranks and the barriers. And they carried him into the crowd to grab his feet. So the police realized that this would get out of hand. You know, you're not talking about a few people, you're talking about 100,000 people probably. So then, in seeing this, the police then took Bhaktisiddhanta and they dipped his feet in a big tub of water in order to save him. And then they took that as Channamrita, and then they said, we will sprinkle this so everyone, the riots will stop. So that was a very interesting principle. But of course he then became the enemy of the caste Goswamis after that, for defeating them. And because he started initiating those that were not born into Brahminical families, he then started to have enemies. And during the Rajamandal Parikrams that he would have, the caste Goswamis would close all the temples when they would come on Parikram. And they would stone the Parikram party. So Bhaktisiddhanta obviously, he tolerated all this. And then finally, they paid certain gundas to kill him as well. But of course, the chief of police came to see him and he warned him that I take bribes, but I don't take bribes to kill a saintly man. So I've just come to warn you that they're trying to kill you and you must leave this area. So obviously he left. And in that one attempt, he obviously swapped his clothes with a disciple. When they were chasing him, where the disciple put on his clothes, and he put on the white clothes, and he disappeared. So the principle of Sandana Namaka carries on, even with the caste Goswamis, the Jati Gosai, as we say. The pastimes which are mentioned here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he speaks that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he worshipped three prominent forms of the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Gaudiya Vaishnavas also, they worship these three prominent forms of the Lord: Purana Purushottam, Maryada Purushottam, and Leela Purushottam. Krishna as the original personality and his pastimes, Lord Ram and his places and pastimes, And the Leela Purushottam is Lord Nrisimhadev. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these were prominently worshipped by Mahaprabhu. And the principle of these pastimes, obviously, that were established very much by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who obviously worshipped Nrisimhadev at the yoga pit. And he established the original Nrisimha Chaturdasi festivals. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur who established them as very prominent. They were not prominent until he established them. And then they carried on in the Gaudiya line after him. So these three forms, obviously, we worship as well, very prominently. And Prabhupada very much gave us this. And we're fortunate that we do have Krishna, obviously, but we also have Ram here as well. And Nrisimhadev, obviously, we're celebrating his appearance and pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he toured South India, he visited these places where Nrisimhadev performed his pastimes as well, and specifically in Andhra Pradesh. And Mahaprabhu specifically visited three places in Andhra Pradesh where Nrisimhadev had performed his pastimes: Simhachalam, Mangalagiri, and Ahovalam. These three places that Mahaprabhu visits in connection with Lord Nrisimhadev. And this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoting, that Mahaprabhu very much went to these different places. And what is Simhachalam? Simhachalam is where Hiranyakashipu decided to throw Prahlad Maharaj from the top of the cliff into the ocean. That's where that took place. And of course, when he threw him, the Lord was at the bottom. Nrisimhadev was at the bottom and he caught him. And after Hiranyakashipu was killed, Prahlad went back to Simhachalam to worship the Lord in that place. And whilst he was meditating upon the Supreme Lord, Nrisimhadev, at this place for protecting him, he became very wondrous. He said, how Lord Brahma has created all the different species, and the Lord appears in these different species, Kurma, Matsya, Varaha. He appears in these different species. But when the Lord appears, he appears in a species that doesn't exist. There is no species which is half man and half lion. That species doesn't exist. So the Lord creates a new species. So he was very overcome by that, Prahlad Maharaj. And in thinking of him, he prayed to the Lord that I am remembering how in your form as Varaha you killed Hiranyaksha. But now I want you to appear in the form which is a combination of Varaha and Nrisimha. I want you to appear in a form that killed my father and my uncle. Interesting principle. We never speak about it in the when the school groups arrive here. Who's that? It's Prahlad Maharaj. He was praying that his father gets killed by a... So here, Prahlad Maharaj was saying, you come in that form which killed my father and my uncle. So the Supreme Lord, he appeared at Simhachalam in the form whose head was the head of a boar, Varaha, but whose claws were the claws of a lion, the tail of a lion. So this is Varaha Nrisimha, and he appears at Simhachalam. And when he appeared, this deity, when he appeared at Simhachalam, because he was so angry remembering those pastimes, not just one, two, that how you tried to kill my devotees and so on. So that deity became extremely hot and the universe started to become distorted. So the Lord advised that immediately apply chandan to my head and cool me down. Because if you don't cool me down, then I will, the universe will dissipate. So it's a huge shila, this Varaha Nishinga. So they apply chandan to it. And only, you can only see that deity, because when you go, it's just a big mound of chandan. But, and they only take the chandan off on one day of the year, and that's Akshaya Tritiya. On that day, they'll take the chandan off, and you can see the deity on that day. But of course, if you go on that day, the queues are bigger than the Janmashtami queues here. They're bigger than anything, because that's the only day you can worship the Lord there in that form of Varaha Nrisimha. Mahaprabhu also went to see the Lord again in Andhra Pradesh, in a place called Mangalagiri. And Mangalagiri is another place where the Supreme Lord appeared. Nrisimhadevi appeared here. And just like we have the demon Hiranyakashipu, in Mangalagiri there was another demon by the name of Namochi. And compared to Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu was nothing compared to Namochi. Namochi decided, the same as Hiranyakashipu, to worship Brahma. If we remember, Hiranyakashipu was standing on one leg with his hands raised and worshipping Lord Brahman. Namo Brahma, whatever the mantra was he was chanting. Namochi, he went a little further. He said, why just stand on your one leg? He placed a needle in the ground. On top of the needle, he placed a mustard seed. And then he decided to stand for 1,000 celestial years on his toe, one toe, standing on the mustard seed which was on the needle. So he, of course, Brahma arrived and he had the same thing. I don't want to be killed by anyone. So again, his benediction was that I don't want to be killed by anything wet or anything dry. Because he thought that included everything. I don't want to be killed by anything wet or anything dry. So Lord Brahma, he gave him that benediction. Fine, you will not be killed. So of course, then Namochi then invaded the heavenly planets. And the demigods came to see the Supreme Lord and said, you must protect us. And the Supreme Lord said, no, you go and fight him. And when you fight him, I'll appear. So Indra was fighting Namochi and being defeated badly. And he said to the Lord, where are you? So it is in this place, Mangalagiri, that the Lord appeared as Nrisimhadev to kill Namochi. But what Nrisimhadev did is, as with the previous benediction, how does he overcome this idea that he cannot be killed by anything wet or anything dry? So Nrisimhadev took his Sudarshan Chakra and he bathed it in the foam of the ocean. Because according to the Vedas, foam is neither wet nor dry. Shishirada Gokulanandaki. So he took the Sudarshan Chakra and he bathed it in the foam. And of course he released that Sudarshan Chakra, which that was the end of Namochi. So that's how he got that benediction sorted out. And that form of Lord Nrisimhadev is worshipped there in Mangalagiri as Pana Nrisimha. And when the demigods started to worship that form of Lord Nrisingadev at Mangalagiri, he said to them that you offer me nectar in worshipping me. So the demigods brought their nectar and he said, whatever you offer me, I will only accept half and the other half you can have. And he said that this is Satya Yuga, so the demigods have nectar. But in Treta Yuga, there'll be no nectar, so you can offer me ghee. And in Dwarpa Yuga, they will not have ghee, so they can offer me milk. But in Kali Yuga, they will not have milk, so they can offer me water mixed with jaggery and cardamom. And that's what's offered at Mangalagiri. And Nrisingadev takes half, and the other half is used as prasadam. And the third place that Mahaprabhu visits in Andhra Pradesh is... anyone? You've been there, Yogi? The third place is Ahovalam. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits. And there are nine forms of Nrisingadev in the cave there. And the story is that Garuda once was meditating in a cave, in that cave. And he wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to see Lord Nrisingadev. So he carried on in his austerities. And in due course of time, the Supreme Lord appeared. And the Sanskrit word for cave is bilam. So when the Lord appeared in the cave, Garuda started shouting, Aho Bilam, Aho Bilam. And hence the name, Aho Bilam. A wondrous Nrisingadev. Just in the, as in the Sanskrit, Aho Bata Sapacho Togariyan. So, Aho, a wondrous, wondrous Nrisingadev. So this is the third place, and there are nine forms of Lord Nrisingadev there, which are worshipped. Srila Prabhupada, very much, he didn't accept these seminal lines of the Brahmanas either, in the sense that, as stated in the Gita, Chaturvanyam Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha, that a Brahman is according to guna and karma, not janma, work and activities and qualities. So that doesn't mean that someone is in a seminal line that he's not a Brahman. If he has the qualities, of course he's a Brahman. So sometimes we get a bit carried away when someone says, I'm born in a Brahman family, and we say, no, he's not a Brahman. No, that's not what Prabhupada is saying. If he has the qualities, he's a Brahman, of course. And Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, argues on this point very directly. That Brahmanas very much will be in a seminal line, he says, because they will have the qualities of a Brahmana in the seminal line. And he argues back and forth on this point. So it's not that those that are born are not Brahmanas. They're very much as long as they are conducting themselves as Brahmanas. And this problem exists even within the variety of sampradayas. The other seminal lines are from Vallabhacharya. His line is seminal, the Pushti Mag. And there are always some difficulties, that it's a seminal line. Do we really accept it? Is the next person really the Acharya? He doesn't seem to even behave like, whatever. So seminal lines will have problems. When Srila Prabhupada was in Gujarat, these pundits, they came to meet him. And when they sat down to meet him, they were big pundits. And when they arrived, before they could even sit down, Prabhupada said to them, "So who is God?" Two Brahmins, pundits who arrived. And before they sat down, they were just wondered, "What, Swamiji?" He said, and they complained, "Swamiji, we haven't even sat down and you are asking this question." He said, "So who is God?" And one of the pundits replied, "Well, Swamiji, that's a very, very difficult question. It's a very, very difficult question." And he said, "But you are pundits. Who is God?" And they said, "Well, in the Upanishad, this is there, that's there, and this is a subject matter for days we can discuss. No one can answer. No one can answer this question." And then he asked the other Brahmana, he said, "So what is the name of God?" And he said, "Swamiji, that is again a very deep question. Who can answer these things? No one can answer these things." So Prabhupada said, "Just see big, big pundits, and they don't know who is God or what his name is." So at that time there was a boy by the name of Krishna Leela who was there, and he loved sweets, and Prabhupada would always give him sweets. But he was a clever boy whereby he would take one sweet from Prabhupada and put it in his mouth and then grab another one while he had one in his mouth. So Prabhupada called Krishna Leela over and he said to Krishna Leela, and he knew he had two sweets for him. So he said to Krishna Leela, "So who is God?" And he said, "God is Krishna." And he took one sweet. And he tried to grab the other one. And Prabhupada said, "And who is Krishna?" And he said, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So the pundits were sitting there. He said, "Just see. This small child knows who is God. He knows who his name is. But you have studied all the Vedas and you don't know." And the pundits went on to say, "But Swamiji, he's just a young boy. He doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't understand what he's even saying." And Prabhupada said, "What to speak of this boy? Krishna doesn't even know that he's God." So the pundits were bewildered totally by that stage. So Prabhupada was taking it back and forth and back and forth. In the Krishna book, we read about how the wives of the Brahmanas were not recognizing the authority of Krishna. The wives of the Brahmana actually came to see Krishna, but their husbands were not recognizing his authority. So when all the wives came and they fully surrendered and they offered everything that they had, the yagyik brahmanas were very busy doing the yagyas. So at that time, of course, Krishna, he defeated the brahmanas. And in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada speaks about how Krishna, after defeating the Brahmins on this earth, that he now goes on to defeat the Brahmanas in the heavens. Because just after that is the pastime of Govardhan Leela. And Indra is defeated. So he said he begins by defeating the Brahmanas on the earth. And then he said, "Let me defeat the Brahmins in the heavens and show them who is the personality of Godhead." So the Krishna Leela, it takes place just after that. And the duties which I mentioned here, Prabhupada speaks about the duties of a Brahmin in the purport here. and how the sons of Sukracharya, their duties were not the real duties of a Brahmin. And as we say, the duties of a Brahmin are yajan, yajan, patan, patan, and pratigraha, dan. Six duties that a Brahmin has. Yajan, yajan means that he worships the deity, and he teaches others how to worship the deity. Patana patana means that he studies the scriptures, but then he teaches it to others. Pati, graha and dan refers to how a Brahmin will collect charity, but also he will distribute charity. So these are six duties that are given of a Brahmin. And Srila Prabhupada obviously gave great emphasis on Brahminical initiation as well, but he obviously was quite pragmatic as well. After giving initiation in the morning, he went to a university program in America, and whilst he was about to speak, they had one of these mic stands like the one at the manor here, which always collapses. So it was collapsing. So Prabhupada, he called the boy that he had given the Brahmin initiation to, and he said, come here. And he said, you give me your Brahmin thread. So the boy thought, wow, what does this mean? Something amazing is about to happen, that Prabhupada is asking for my Brahmin thread, and I have been selected and chosen. And Prabhupada took his Brahmin thread, and then he tied it, the mic stand, so that it would hold up. Because you can't just remove a Brahmin thread, you're meant to put another one on and chant the mantra, and then you remove the old one. Prabhupada said, you'll get another one later on. But he just tied the mic stand at that time. So Prabhupada was, now we can't do that, of course. If you're giving a lecture somewhere and the mic stand's falling off, don't. That was Prabhupada doing that. You cannot do that. But just to show, for preaching, Prabhupada was prepared for anything. He wasn't attached to the principles of these smarter brahmanas, but he was attached to the principle of preaching. And that's the principle here given in the purports today. Hare Krishna. I want to thank everyone for being here this morning, and specifically Uttama Shloka Prabhu. Any comments?